بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سليمان ابن عبد الملك is one of the rulers and khalifas of the Banu Umayyah. He had inquired from his advisors, is there any person that had still seen a Sahabi? Anybody living that had witnessed and seen a Sahabi? Says, yes, there is one person by the name of Abu Hazim. Called him, Abu Hazim, what is this attitude of yours, like how we say nowadays, what is this attitude of yours? I'm here in Medina Munawwara, and the rest of the notable people of Medina Munawwara came to pay their respects to me, and you haven't done the same? When I'm here, and the right thing for you to do is to pay your respects to me. So why are you giving me this type of attitude? So Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi replied that I beg your pardon, but before this day you did not know me and I didn't know you. I had no introduction, I don't know who you are. So when you don't know me and I don't know you, then the question of attitude doesn't appear at all. If there was some introduction, I had known you, you had known me, and then I had totally ignored you, I didn't pay any attention to you, then there was something you could have complained about. But now I don't know you at all for a bar of soap, you don't know me, then what are you talking about? Abu Hazim became stunned at this answer and he kept quiet for a moment, but nonetheless he had to hide away his embarrassment. Man caught him out, and he is the Khalifa and all his advisors, notable people are around. So in their presence he got this type of answer. It was embarrassing. So he asked some questions, perhaps just to divert the whole topic and to hide away his embarrassment. So he says, how will we fare before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we are brought before Allah ta'ala, how will we fare? So he says, it's easy to understand this. A sinful person will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a runaway slave, a captive, a prisoner. He's run away from prison and the police are after him and they are hunting him down, and eventually they get him, and how they bring him, how they chain him and how they lock him up and how they would treat him. So this is a runaway captive. He's run away from the obedience of Allah ta'ala. He's run away from the allegiance and loyalty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually the malaika had hunted him down, they have arrested him, and they're going to surrender him just now. And a righteous person, when his time has appeared, then it is a moment of cheer, it is a moment of happiness, it is a moment of him celebrating. He is anxious for this moment, and Allah Ta'ala is anxious to meet him. من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه. He is anxious to meet Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is also anxious to see him and to meet him. So then he asked, and why is it that we fear death? We fear the abode. When we hear about death, we hear about the hereafter. It's an abode, it's a place that we fear. Don't you see, if you are all alone in the Qabristan, you feel an eerie feeling. Even though it may be day, but you can't see any soul around, nobody around you, and you are all alone in the graveyard, how do you feel? Let alone being in the graveyard around 12 o'clock at night all alone, there you will get shocked, you may just collapse with shock perhaps. That is a different thing. But during the day when it's broad daylight, you can see everything all around, but just the fact that you can't see anybody around, you can't see anything and anybody around, how do you feel then? So it is an abode that you feel afraid about. When you talk about it, it sends some type of shivers in your spine. And when it is a time of celebration, a time of joy and cheer, you don't want anybody to bring about that type of topic. So why is it that we feel so scared about this? In some countries, they say that you can't even bring to the house. Can't even bring your own father's corpse to the house, because you create a lot of panic in your neighborhood. Panic and disturbance in your neighborhood you want to bring, so you mustn't bring it. Just leave it there at the mortuary or somewhere, wherever it is, funeral parlor, and whoever wants to see him, they can come see him at the parlor, and then from there he will be transported to the Qabristan. So everybody feels afraid about this. A Muslim is supposed to be longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when his fear is also excessive, then there is something wrong in the Muslim. Not that Muslims are an exception to the rule. But when they talk about the hereafter, they talk about Jannat, and they say also that Jannat is reserved for the believers, then there should be a percentage, a degree of anxiety to meet Allah ta'ala. You're supposed to be anxious in that direction. In that respect, you're supposed to be anxious. But when you also feel afraid about it, though you speak about it that it's exclusive for you, then there's something wrong. Why is it like that? So this Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, he asks, and how will we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now why do we fear Allah? One is how, and one is why do we fear? Why do we fear the hereafter? Why do we fear death? Why do we fear the Qabristan? What is it that makes us fear and be afraid like this? The very fact that we fear death, we fear the Qabristan, we fear the hereafter, shows there is a hereafter. If there wasn't a hereafter, then we wouldn't have been afraid about the hereafter. You don't hear of an animal crying about the hereafter. Any animal, for that matter, no animal is afraid about the hereafter, Jannat, Jahannam. There is no resurrection, no accountability for it. So when there is no accountability, why must it be afraid? But we are afraid of something. Whether we know it, whether we identify with it, or we don't identify, but there is something that we are afraid about. So what is this that we are afraid about? There must be some reality in it. There must be some substance in it for us to be afraid. So death is a reality. Accountability is a reality. And when we say that accountability is a reality, then it must be. Accountability, accounting, must be. There must be an accountability in the hereafter. If there isn't a thing like accountability and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know how the world has it. The one that is more intelligent, the one that is more sharp and shrewd, he gets away. In the worst crime, worst injustice, he gets away. Either because of his shrewdness or because of his affluence and influence, he gets away from the crime. See? The worst, the dirtiest of crime, he can get away with treason, murder, and you name it, he can get away with anything because of the position that he holds. Because of the affluence that he has, he can buy off anything, he can buy off any system, he can buy off any situation, he can buy it out. So now if this person is getting out of the situation in this world, as well as in the hereafter, there is no accountability for him, then what does logic require? Logic requires that we're all supposed to be acting very sharp and shrewd, getting out of situations, because there is no accountability, there is no such a thing like reckoning. Then we should try and work out ourselves, scheme a plan for us, and get out of situations. That is then the logical conclusion, because there is no hereafter, there is no akhirat. And then it will also mean that na'uzu billah, may Allah ta'ala forbid, that Allah ta'ala has got no system. That's what it will amount to, that Allah ta'ala has no system in place. So the fact that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is a system. And because there is a system, there must be justice. And justice cannot be completed in this world. It cannot be accomplished in this world. Do you see justice always being accomplished in this world? You can't, you don't see it. Man killed 1,500 people, one person killed, 500,000 people, killed them, and he got away. Now, in this world, he is guilty of that type of crime, injustice, cruelty, oppression. In the hereafter also, there is no problem for him. Then that means that there is no system by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that there is Allah ta'ala, there must be a system. And that system requires that there must be justice. And justice requires that everybody must be called by the book. He must be called for the small that he has done, for the big that he has done, for the good that he has done, the wrong that he has done. He must be called by the book. Nobody can escape. And nobody is an exception. So Abu Hazim rahmatullahi explains, when Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik rahmatullahi asks that why we are scared about the hereafter, why we are scared about death, why we are scared about the qabr, he says the answer is very simple. The answer is this, that abode that we are heading towards, we have totally demolished on account of our actions, our deeds. Our namazes we are neglecting, our obligations we are neglecting, our duties we are ignoring, we are not concerned about our duties. So our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not concerned about. When we are forgetful and neglectful of our obligations, as though we have demolished our abode, we have ruined, brought destruction to our abode. So our abode is lying in ruins. It's a haunted house. It's an abandoned building, totally abandoned, haunted. Now a place that is totally haunted, abandoned, do you feel like going there? Do you want to go there? It's totally abandoned. The lights are all broken down. It's there lying somewhere in the jungles. There's nothing. Cobwebs lying everywhere. There's animals, there's snakes, scorpions all around. Do you want to go into that place? It's lying somewhere in the jungle, but it's ruined up. Some pythons have come, some snakes have come. And then after the snakes, some cats came. And after the cats came, the dogs. And after the dogs came, the wolves. And the wolves and the lions, everything is there. Now, do you want to go into such an abode? So that is a result of your actions. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. The Quran Sharif explains the same thing. It's exactly the same thing the Quran Sharif says. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. All your deeds, you will find it before you. You will see your deeds right before you. Right? You can't escape it. That's why the hadith says us that observe shame of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Observe shame of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you in namaz and you trying to plot and scheme. You know, I'll go to this person here, I'll work out a plan for myself. I will go to him and I'll work out a plan for myself. Really, you need to understand that in whose presence you are talking. You are allowing your mind to rotate in that direction, to move in that direction, but in whose presence? For a moment you forgot that Allah Ta'ala is the provider. He is the giver. He is the nourisher. You have lost sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that moment. And then the next moment when Imam says Allahu Akbar, then you say Rabbana lakal hamd. You say Rabbana lakal hamd. You say again to Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, you the provider, you the maker, you the nourisher, you the cherisher. And then again you start planning. Can you imagine the diversities in your namaz? Such diversities that you can't even reconcile. On the one moment you are talking about something else, and the next moment this is where your mind is running away with you. Sometimes in halal it's going, sometimes it's going in haram. And all those plans are being plotted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right in the presence of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is watching. And you are making those plans in His presence. So because of this gross neglect in the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this impacted on the total destruction, the ruin of your abode. Your abode is destroyed, finished, khalas. There's nothing left there. What are you going to go? You want to go there. It's an abandoned place, it's neglected, it's haunted. La marhaban bikum. La marhaban bikum. You go there also, they say you're not welcome. La marhaban bikum. So this is a sinner and this is his abode. This is the place that he is going towards. And the righteous person, the virtuous person, the person that is righteous, right, he goes to an abode. And that abode is really awaiting him. He is awaiting that abode, and that abode is awaiting him. Last year, we had that, what is his name? Ismail Umarji, huh? He passed away now. Right? And some people had seen a dream about him, whether it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Sahaba Ikram are awaiting him. Right? Just now we had that person, and he passed away, and then shortly after that someone seen this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Sahaba Ikram are awaiting him, awaiting his arrival. So there must have been something that he was doing quite secretly, and on account of that he is receiving this type of reception. In the istima, you will get a reception one for the common persons, right? Thullatum min al-awwalin wa thullatum min al-akhirin, ashabul yameen. Allah Pak, make us at least unki jootiyon mein Allah ta'ala humein jagah de de. And then you get the as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. Now you get by Abdul Wahab and the Akabir from Nizamuddin. And the type of reception they receive. What type of reception? A very grand reception. Hundreds of people are going to the airport. And we, total respect, the type of respect we are offering. And Yusuf had just bought a Mercedes, and now my Mercedes must be used. He's bought a BM, my BM must be used. I must get the barakat. Everybody is fighting to receive the person. Do you see? As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. So for those people that are exceeding in all good, they get a different type of reception. And the common folk, they get a different type of reception. But all receive, all the ashabul yameen, all the jannatis receive a reception. But then you need to qualify as a jannati. In order to qualify as a jannati, the prerequisite is that that abode of yours you don't destroy. You don't ruin that that abode of yours. So the righteous person, the virtuous person, he allows his abode to flourish. It's flourishing. There's everything that you can dream of, everything that you can imagine, it's there, it's available. The type of finishes that you need in the building is there. The type of color that you require is there. The type of accommodation and comfort that you need, you'll find it there. Anything that you can dream of, anything that you can desire of, you will find it. To the extent that you long to meet some of your folks, you will find them also. As you're leaving, you're crossing, you're just crossing and you're meeting them. In fact, before the cross, before you can actually cross over, and you're already seeing them. How many pious people don't you hear of? As the final moment approaches, then they say, you know, so-and-so is waiting for me. He is awaiting me, and I'm awaiting him. We hear it now so often. So often it's being repeated, that this person is calling for me, my father or my mother or my grandfather or my brother or my wife, someone, but he's awaiting me. Bhai Padia's wife had passed away now recently. So she was saying, before she could pass away, she was in her senses. And she says, no, Bhai Padia is waiting for me. Just now this happened. 3 months, how much? 2 or 3 months ago. And she says, no, he is waiting for me. So all these people are coming to receive him. Come now, come. We are enough now. Those people had their turn. We must also get our turn. As though these people are saying that they had their turn, now we need to have our turn as well. But that is provided we prepare that abode, we flourish that abode, we make that abode, and we make that abode with our righteous deeds. Three things. Iman, get our iman right, get our deeds right, and get our character right. Iman, our deeds, and character. These are three things that we need to rectify and correct. And that in turn impacts on the house of the hereafter. It flourishes it, it gives it everything that you desire. Now as your days are getting numbered and you're coming closer to the end, and you see yourself becoming more and more anxious, I want to get there. I had enough of this. I had enough of this place. I remember one old musalli. Alhamdulillah, Allah had blessed him with a lot of wealth. He passed away now. Used to be, towards the end, he used to come here for his Jummah namazes. So someone asked him, what do you desire? For longer life, good health? So now I need to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ordinary musalli. Now I'm longing to meet Allah ta'ala. I had enough. I'm tired of this. Okay. So that long life, they don't aspire for that long life. Because they see the limitation that the earth has got. And Allah is already showing them, this is what is in store for you. We have got this in store for you. Now how long are you going to carry on like this? How long are you going to carry on scratching around? How long are you going to languish in this prison? Now you need to move out. That Kontonoma Bay is over now. Now you need to come back. Why don't you come? When are you going to come back? That prison is over now. Come back. So they are asking you to come, to return. And Allah Ta'ala shows you or grants you this type of feelings. And that feelings prompt you. Now you need to turn, turn. Ya baghi al khair aqbil. Ya baghi al khair aqbil. Come, come. The doors are opening for you. Come, come in. So they are giving you that reception. So the sinner, he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. And the righteous person, he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. The righteous person, he sees an abode that is flourishing, exciting, thrilling, and he wants to go in that direction. He wants to go in that direction. He's awaiting that moment. And this person is dreading that moment, because he knows he's going to a ruin. He knows he's going to a haunted house. He knows he's going to an abode of serpents and snakes. And yeah, he knows that he's going to a beautiful abode. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one murid, he was on the throes of death. His brother used to taunt him all the time. His brother was a peer and he used to taunt him. You would Hadi Sahib, what do you get? Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to conduct himself like an ordinary person. Nobody would know. Those that knew will know, and those that will not know for the rest of their lives. There was nothing exciting about Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, nothing thrilling, nothing attracting in him. Outwardly, he'll seem like one of these people, one of the ordinary people, rank and file. And now, his brother used to taunt him, that, what's there? Brother, come with me. Now, he's approaching his last, he's approaching his end. At the time he's approaching his end, they are prompting him to recite kalima. He's quiet. His brother found the chance to taunt him again. See, I told you that you should have come with me and I would have taken you somewhere. I would have taken you somewhere. Now, you refused, you defied, you were not willing to come with me. Now see what's happening to you. Anyway, at that moment when he mentioned, he made this type of statements, his brother that was dying, he just moved the sheet over his head, and these words he recited, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Surah Yasin. And my people only realized what Allah Ta'ala has got in store for me. The honor, the praise, the comfort Allah Ta'ala has prepared for me, had these people only known. What an apt ayat at that moment. And he said this, and shortly he passed away. Then the people realize what maqam and what position this person was in. Okay? So this nisbat and this association with this awliya and busugan ad-deen, this must not be counted as a simple thing. It mustn't be treated with insignificance. We need to do two things. One is to connect ourselves, and one is to respect that connection. That connection is not a small thing, not a simple thing. On the one end, we're connecting ourselves to the highest of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we treat this connection as an insignificant thing. We're treating it lightly. We're not showing the respect that it requires. Really, it's not right. We look at ourselves, within ourselves, in retrospect. What are we doing? That connection that we have with these type of awliya, this buzurgan ad-deen, are we showing it the type of respect that it requires? Do we show it the type of respect? Oh, we go into things that will bring insult and embarrassment to this buzurgan ad-deen. On the one side, one end you say that I am the son of so-and-so. I am the son of so-and-so. And then go look and examine your own deeds. What type of embarrassing deeds you involved in? Is it behoving? Is it in keeping with that name? So this requires a little bit of reflection. What? A little bit of reflection. Like I explained, this meet talk with Abu Hazim and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to explain to us that after you have heard all these type of things from me, the right thing, the logical thing for you to do is go into your apartment, go into the quiet, and then reflect what we've been speaking about, what we're discussing. You reflect and let your mind make takrar of it, repeat it, repeat it. Try and refresh in those lessons. And repeat it all the time, repeat it all the time. When you keep reflecting and repeating this, now this will become a reality. Death will become a reality, Jannat a reality, Jahannam a reality. Now when you're performing namaz, now you're visualizing Jannat before you. You've got Jannat before you, you've got Jahannam before you. Now you'll find that that namaz is a real namaz. Okay? You're going into sajda, you're finding yourself close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're asking, you're appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of your sin. You are crying. You are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are begging at the threshold of Allah ta'ala for His favors. See? So you're perceiving the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then this happens after you have allowed your mind, you have exercised your mind, you jog your mind in this Jannat, Jahannam, where I'm going towards, the qabr, etc. Keep about these things, and you find now this thing becomes a reality, and that in turn makes your namaz a real namaz. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.